Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. We have got a powerful conversation up ahead for you. So here's my question before we get started. Do you feel with all your heart, do you believe in your core of cores that you were born to make an impact in this world, but you don't know how? Or maybe you feel like you're a have-not and everybody else is a have, like that calling thing just passed you right by. Or maybe you're in such a valley of the shadow, you wonder if God's lost your address. I've been there. I've felt like that. And you know what William MacDonald calls that? He calls that training time for reigning time. God is getting you ready for something, but what you do in that time in between matters significantly. What you tell yourself about your story, what you say about God, what you believe about his promises, all of that matters in those valleys of preparation. Well, I'm excited to talk with Banning Liebscher today. He's the founder and the pastor of Jesus Culture. In fact, I have got one copy of Jesus Culture album, Let It Echo, three copies of Banning's amazing book, Rooted, The Hidden Places Where God Develops You. Looking so forward to talking with him. And as I said, we've got a few copies to give away. Let me tell you what he writes before we get him on the show. Banning writes this: whatever your season of life, it takes immense courage to slow down enough to let God grow a root system in your life so that you can bear fruit that remains. You are where you are because God has planted you there. Discover what it looks like to embrace his process so you can do what he's called you to do, and that's change the world. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Banning Liebscher was on staff at Bethel Church in Redding, California for 18 years and founded the Ministry of Jesus Culture during that time. Banning and his family, along with the Jesus Culture team, relocated to the capital of California, where they started a church, Jesus Culture Sacramento. Their vision is to see people encounter God, be empowered in community, and engage their city for revival and transformation. He and his wife, CJ, love that name, have three children, and we're honored to have them today. Banning, welcome.
Oh, it's so good to be here. I'm already loving the questions you're asking. So good.
It's going to be a good conversation. I ate up your book. I loved it so much. So we love to start every conversation with Scripture, Banning, whether that be a life verse that you carry with you or just one you've been pondering in Scripture these days. Do you have one you can share with us?
Oh, yeah. Well, two of my favorites are Acts 10:38, talking about how Jesus was anointed with power and the Holy Spirit and going around doing good and healing those oppressed of the devil. And then Psalms 27:4 for me is a big one, just that one thing that I desire, that will I seek, just to dwell in the house of the Lord. So for me, those are kind of the two verses that, you know, I really cling to and hold on to about just setting my heart just to seek the Lord above all else and just to dwell in his presence and in that anointing to actually see people set free. So, yeah, those two verses.
And that's what you give your life to. That's just really wonderful. Well, you know, so often we see this. We've covered this on the show before, too. But when God gives you a vision for your life, it's like he takes you to the top of the mountain to say, you know, this is where I'm taking you. And then he takes us down into the valley of preparation. And I think that's where so many people lose heart. I would love your backstory, Banning, of how and when God maybe gave you a sense of what his plan was for you. And then what happened after that?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a Christian home. It was a good, solid Christian home, but very conservative. And so when I was 17, I started attending the church right before my senior year in high school. And I remember I went forward. I had been saved at four, but when I was 17, I came. The youth pastor was speaking on a Sunday night, and he gave an altar call for the message. And I remember walking forward and knelt down and said, Lord, if I'm going to do this Christianity thing, I'm going to do it 100%. And everything changed for me, everything in the moment. There was no lightning bolts, no goosebumps, just everything shifted. Went home that night, said, Mom, I want to preach. That's what I want to do with my life. And to my understanding, I'd never thought of that before. And Just went for it my senior year in high school. But while I was a senior in high school, I started reading books. I read Billy Graham's book. William Martin writes a book, A Prophet with Honor, by Billy Graham. And I'd read a couple books, and a couple itinerant people had come through, and my heart just began to be stirred to really make a difference. And I started actually daydreaming about stadiums full of people and me preaching and things like that. And then kind of quickly after that, went to college and came back on staff at Bethel when I was 19. And in that process, my heart just became alive to what's possible, what God can do in cities and nations. But would have never imagined ever that there was a process attached to it, and it was going to be 20 years and of the Lord developing me and all that stuff. So, but then was on staff, you know, for 18 years, 12 of those as a youth pastor. And kind of Jesus culture came out of that. So that's some of my backstory.
Yeah. And what are some of the lessons you learned that surprised you, maybe that were painful lessons but treasures to you now as you walk through that, you look back through that, your valley of preparation?
Yeah. Well, a lot of it, you know, timing is one of them.
Yeah.
Everything's too slow for me anyways. Mm-hmm. And just did not have an understanding that God is not sped up by my frustration with his timing, that it doesn't motivate him to go faster. So really just having to learn trust and weakness and all that in this timing. But I think the other thing for me that probably threw me off a little bit was the Lord calls us to community, and he calls us to live in community, to walk with community. But community is a lot messier than I ever imagined. And I don't think I would have really understood that God's actually called me to something that's quite messy and frustrating and hurtful and painful and amazing all at once. So I think for me, there's a lot of areas where I felt the Lord developed my life, the secret place and different things. But community was that one that I just was just not – I just was had no understanding of how messy it can be, but how much the Lord is developing my life right in the middle of it.
Boy, it's why we avoid it so much, Banning, because we're characters of self-preservation, and we don't like messy, we don't want messy, we don't want to be out of control. But those who are willing to go through and have hard conversations and forgive and make allowances, we're transformed to his likeness through those processes, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's what he calls us to. We live in a very, very independent society. So we applaud self-made millionaires as if that's even possible. You know, so we think somebody that's like, wow, you didn't need one person in your life to make $1 million. You know, I just want to stand up and cheer for you. But it's not real. We need people. And the Lord, you know, Jesus is absolutely the only way to salvation. There's only one way. It's through Jesus. But the minute you walk through that door called Jesus, he introduces you to a big old family and says, hey, guess what? You get to figure out life with these guys. And so it is. It's a humbling. This is you say, you know, it's not easy. They, you know, 1 Peter 5:5, submit yourselves to your elders, be submitted to one another, and be clothed with humility. Because God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. The reality is when I submit my life to one another, it is a humbling act.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. Being in humbling positions, we resist.
So true, Banning. You've got a chapter titled Why the Rooted Last. Explain what the rooted, who they are, what they do, which makes them rooted, and why they last.
Yeah, well, a lot of the questions you even led off with at the very beginning is really why I wrote the book. It's what my heart is for. I think I'm now 21 years, I guess, into full-time ministry. In 21 years in full-time ministry, both walking with Jesus myself and then walking with people in their journey, one of the things I realized was that a lot of people get hung up in the process. They just don't understand or have clarity around it. So what you described, the Lord takes them on a mountain and he speaks a word to them. He gives them a vision. He gives them a word. And he gives them a destiny, a passion, a mandate. And when that word is planted, it's a seed. But when a seed is planted, the next step is not fruit. The next step is roots. And we somehow have forgotten that a little bit. We're so excited about the vision. We're so excited about the passion of the word God's given us. We don't realize that when he plants a seed, he then starts a process. And that process is to grow your internal world, your root system. because your internal world has to be strong and healthy. And so he goes about to do that. And we get frustrated because it's below the surface. You can't see it. It's in hiding. It's messy. But I would say the most important part of growth in your life, the most important part of growth in a plant is below the surface, is the root system. And I think that so those that really embrace the process that God has them in to allow him to develop a root system are the ones that bear fruit that remains. And we've lost a little bit of this because we don't live in an agricultural age. So honestly, for some people, it's confusing. It's odd for them because it's not happening right now. So we literally – I have an iPhone. I am frustrated if it takes 3 seconds to load. So I will go spend $900 to get a new iPhone. And when somebody asks me, what does it do different? It loads 1 second faster. And so we're just in a society that, like when Jesus taught, when the Bible was written, it was agricultural. So when he said, listen, a seed goes in the ground, they understood this process. Now there's a process that's about to happen in that seed. We've lost that a little bit because of our technological kind of age. So I think the rooted last, because they are the ones that have allowed God to develop their internal world so that what's inside of them is bigger than what's outside of them. And they're the ones that really make a lasting impact.
Fantastic statement. Talking to Banning Leibscher of Jesus Culture, pastor and founder of Jesus Culture. Title of his book, Rooted, The Hidden Places Where God Develops You. We've got 3 copies of the book and 1 copy of Jesus Culture album, Let It Echo. I just worked out to that album this morning. Fantastic. If you've got a question for Banning, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Or if you want in on the drawing, email me and put your name, mailing address, and either the book, Rooted, or the CD. Mention those in the email, and your name will go into drawing. More with Banning Leibscher when we return. That song is from Jesus Culture, Let It Echo, fantastic CD. I've got 1 copy of Jesus Culture album and 3 copies of Banning Leibscher's book, Rooted, The Hidden Places Where God Develops You. And I love this book. It's just my language. I care so much about that internal process. And we're in such a day that so much measures everything by external results. But I think you could have gifting without the character and make a big show, but it doesn't last very long. Love for you to make the distinction, Banning, that you do in your book between much fruit and fruit that lasts.
Yeah, well, I love what you just said about the society we live in. We have to redefine success. I think that we have especially in the church, we've bought into a wrong definition of success, and it's based on short-term results. So one of the things, we do conferences all over the place, which is, and when people ask me, hey, how'd the conference go? Well, usually the only way we know how to answer is, it was great, there was 3,000 people there. And I just realized, I'm like, it's just not, it's one marker, I guess, but really when people ask me, how'd the conference go? I'm like, I'll let you know in 20 years.
Excellent.
I don't know. I don't know, because if this isn't bearing fruit in 20 years, then it wasn't good. But if it's bearing fruit in 20 years, it was a success. And we, in order to measure success, it has to be off of fruit that remains. So the Bible doesn't just call us to bear fruit. It calls us to bear fruit that lasts. And that means then that we'd better care about our root system and our internal world, because fruit that remains, healthy, lasting fruit, is connected to a healthy, thriving root system. And so for us, I'm like, listen, the way that you measure success is long-term fruit. And ultimately, not just long-term fruit on the earth, but you have to measure it by eternity. Mm-hmm. Is what I'm doing eternal? Is what I'm doing going to last? Is what I'm doing going to go with me into eternity? And that's why things that we like, these are the 2 questions I ask. I say, listen, you got to measure success off of these 2 things. One, is this going to go with me into eternity? 2, is Jesus going to ask me about this when I stand before him one day? Mm-hmm. That's why when I write a book. I want people to buy the book, of course. But at the end of the day, Jesus is not going to ask me how many books I sold. He's not going to ask me that. He's just going to ask me, were you faithful with what I gave you? Were you obedient with what I asked of you? And that's why we have to start going, okay, it's long-term fruit that matters, not just the amount of Twitter followers I have, not just how many people show up to my meeting, not just this or that. That stuff is not the issue. Long-term fruit is.
And let's paint a picture as to why that is, because when our lives, you know, Jesus said, it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, fruit that lasts. But when we are in that place of abiding and we are rooted in him and we're bearing much fruit, people are nourished and the kingdom story moves forward. When we're living to try to make a point, to prove ourselves, those are coming from a place that aren't from the vine. And they either bring up pride or despair because we're striving in our own efforts. And as you mentioned, and we talk about this a lot on the show because it's one of the things that gets me out of bed every morning, is the idea that Christians are going to give an account for how they live their lives. I mean, our sin is paid for, but our time, treasure, talents, our opportunity for fruitfulness, we do have to face Jesus with that, don't we?
Oh, listen, I can't say amen to what you just said enough. We have to live with eternity in mind. We have to live. The Bible's very clear on the Bible points us consistently to these two realities. One, this life is a moment. It's a breath. It's a vapor. It's grass that grows and withers quickly. So this life is short. And the second thing it's pointing us to is you will stand before God one day. And listen, you're righteous because of the blood, but you will have to give an account for your life. Mm. And we need to live like that because so many things that we're striving for, so many things that we're hung up on, we're trying to prove ourselves, we're competing with other people, we're discouraged because of certain things, and it's all not even the main thing.
Yeah.
It's not even the main thing. And so I think when you really realize the main thing is what you're describing, that I was created to be in relationship with God, to find my satisfaction in him. And from that place, I want to be faithful and obedient to him, and I want to love well. It helps life out quite a bit. That striving, that pride, that frustration, a lot of that storm just goes away when you can really understand this is what I was created for.
And the scandal of it all is when we're living out of that abiding life, we give a cup of cold water in his name, and he makes note of it. I mean, every move prompted by our faith, he writes down. That's the scandal of it to me. And, you know, Banning, I was thinking about this, the Tower of Babel, the two motivations for the Tower of Babel we see alive and well today, make a name for myself, protect my interests. And you think about that, make a name for myself, protect my interests. That is an indicator it's not about the kingdom, it's about your own kingdom. And when you think about the Babel way or the broken way, even in our brokenness before Jesus, we can bear amazing fruit. I'd say especially there, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you're describing, I mean, I know we know this, but you're describing Jesus. If he's the one I'm following,
yeah,
and I'm supposed to live like Jesus lived. I mean, Jesus was like, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I came to lay my life down for people. And talk about making a name for himself. He would consistently have a group of 15,000 and then they'd all just scatter and he'd have, 12 left. He would heal somebody and he'd say, hey, listen, don't tell anybody. It was just this humility of, I'm just here to lay my life down for people, is what he came for. And we have to follow that. What you just described, the Tower of Babel, make a name for ourselves and protect our interest. Jesus lived the opposite of that. And that's who we follow. We follow him, and we have to live like that.
Boy, that's so off, so great. You said, I love this, you said that in your 20s you watched so many people who ran after God, who were laying hold of their calling, and that was such an inspiration. But I felt like this was very astute of you in your 20s, where you realized, too, that anybody can start a race. Speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, well, again, if we define success by eternity and finishing well, then it matters. I think that I just realized that a lot of people can get excited. So a lot of people are excited about the vision. A lot of people are excited about the picture they have in their head of their life. But anybody can run. Anybody can start a marathon. Anybody can get married. Like, the hard part is not the wedding day. That's not impressive. Hmm. Anybody can get married. It's staying married that's impressive. And because that's harder.
Yeah.
Same thing with a marathon. So I think that we have to – it's really interesting that we use this illustration. When my kids were little, I used to go to Home Depot, and outside of Home Depot they had these huge play structures that were built, just big play structures. And it was like a fort and a rope course and, you know, climbing wall and swing set. And I we didn't have any money for them. They're like $1,200. So I'm like, man, I so would love this for my kids. Well, I was with my father-in-law one day, and he said, Benny, I'm going to buy that for my grandkids. And I was so excited. I just, in my head, I pictured exactly where I was going to put it in the backyard. I was seeing my kids playing on it and having fun. I was so excited for what I saw. And then they delivered it to my house. And it was in about 10 different boxes. None of it was marked. And I am not that handy. So it took me 4 days and 10 different friends that had to come over and help me put this together. And I was just like miserable. I'm like, this is horrible. But it's that type of thing of like anybody can get excited about a vision and start a vision. That's not the hard part. The hard part is when you have to get in the trenches and it takes work. And you have to work through community, and you have to allow the Lord to develop you, and you have to encounter your weaknesses, and you have to learn to trust Him, and you are put through some fire. That's the hard part. And so what's impressive is when you come out the other side of that. And we just live in a society, I'm telling you, if you have an idea, we all think you're amazing. And I'm like, it's not the idea that's amazing. It's the ability to walk that thing out and finish strong. And I think that we even see in the Old Testament, lots of kings started strong and didn't finish strong. And so we need to have just as much of a passion to finish strong as we do to start strong.
Boy, such a good word. We've got about a minute and a half before our bottom of the hour break. How often do you think people who are walking through the valley of the shadow, the valley of preparation, keep their flesh intact and come through, but leave their dream in the valley because they don't want to be dealt with in their character? They don't want that internal space that you talk about that God wants to have.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot, you know, because the Lord's going after our trust in that issue. We just don't trust Him. And that is the big lie that the enemy sells to people. You can't trust the Lord. You can't trust Him with your heart. You can't trust Him with your dreams. You can't trust Him with the vulnerable areas of your life. And it's in our places of weakness that we learn He is trustworthy. And so the enemy lies to us. And as believers, we don't say it out loud. We don't say, like, you can't trust God. But that is what we struggle with. So I think that in order to come out the other side with still a dream, you have to learn to trust Him in the hard times, and that's a difficult thing to do, but it's a shaping and important thing.
Boy, so good. And on the other side, we'll talk about King David and what Banning learned from him as he studied the root system of King David. But you even think about David in the cave with Saul. Here he had a vision and a dream, destiny written over his life. He has Saul within his grasp. And sometimes it seems like our dreams are within our grasp, but God hasn't handed him over to us yet. And his men are saying it's God's delivered him. But David knew it wasn't time yet. And the kind of restraint it took for David not to take matters into his own hands, so powerful. We're going to talk about that. Do you trust God's timing? Are you tempted to take matters into your own hands? Banning will give you some cautionary and wise advice on the other side. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Banning Leibshire. He's founder and pastor of Jesus Culture. The music you're listening to is Jesus Culture. And we're talking about Banning's book, Rooted, The Hidden Places Where God Develops You. Such an important word. And Banning, you studied King David's root system. Tell us what you learned about him.
Well, you know, I think that I just love the picture of David's life because I think it's such a great example for us. You know, when David was a preteen is when Samuel came and gave him a word about being king. But it wasn't until two decades later that he actually stepped into that word. And I think that's true for all of us, that the Lord really speaks something to our heart. He puts something in our heart, but then he goes about developing us. And that's David. you know, David, he then kind of took David through a process. He put him in the field, and he had to learn the field prayer and intimacy and worship and getting his priorities right and being motivated from love. And then he had to serve. He had to serve his dad. He had to serve a king that wasn't any good. And then he had to be put in a cave with a bunch of men in community. And so this is what's so impressive about David to me, is that he embraced that process. That anywhere you find David, although the Psalms, you'll see in the Psalms, he struggles at first, and then but he comes to a place of thriving. Anywhere you find David, he can be in the castle or he can be running in the wilderness, he still begins to thrive. And I think that that's really God's call for all of us, is that wherever we're at in the process, and trust me, everybody is in process. The thing everybody listening right now, what we all have in common is we are in process. And what's impressive about David is in his process, he thrived. Every season he embraced and did well. And that's really what I believe God's calling us to.
So good. Let's talk about these different types of soil that God uses to cultivate an atmosphere of growth in our lives. First one you outline is the soil of intimacy. And you say, as a shepherd in a field, David built a relationship with God in prayer and worship and dependence on God as he fought his private battles. Now, I got to say, that word, the phrase private battles, jumped out to me, Banning, because I was thinking back to just times when I wondered why God is taking so long in certain areas of my life. And then I learned that his delays were actually his fatherly protection. I'm so grateful he let me fight those battles in private and not on a bigger stage, if you know what I mean. It really is so much about not only intimacy, but a protection for us too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I didn't realize for a long time, that his time, mercy in my life. And the crazy thing is, how would I describe this? The crazy thing is that so many of us, we feel ready, but we're not. Mm-hmm. And it's an intriguing thing to be in, because when I was 25, I felt ready. I felt ready to do what the Lord had shown me, but I hadn't grown into the person that I needed to be to handle it. And so, you know, this is the crazy part, is that the Lord, he gives you a vision that's way bigger than you are, and then he goes about to grow you. And it just, it takes trust. This is he wants trust. I know I mentioned this already, but he wants trust from us, and he wants to make sure that our priorities are right. So the way that we would describe it with David is, David was anointed. He literally had oil poured on him, and he had a word. So a lot of us find that. There's an actual anointing and a call on us. We have a word from God. But what we don't have, and what David didn't have, was authority. So again, if we're looking for fruit that remains, an impactful fruit, you have to have authority. And so God had to set up almost 20 years before, and anointing and his authority met up, that he was able to step into being a king. So this is God answering our prayers, right? We're like, you know, and we think, Lord, if you were to release this vision on me right now, I'm good to go. But then you get 10 years down the road and you realize, if you were to release that vision on me, it would have killed me. Mm-hmm. I did not have the authority or the foundation needed in my life to be able to handle that. And we just have to trust the Lord's timing. We have to trust his timing. He's not messing around with us. He's not toying with us. It's his grace and mercy in our life.
And maybe this isn't the best analogy, but I think it fits. It's like the reason why the winning the lottery ruins more lives than it saves, because people aren't conditioned to steward that kind of wealth. And I think the parallel serves perfectly in fitness, that you walk in and try to squat 500 pounds, you will ruin your bone structure, but you work up to a certain acquired strength. And I think that conditioning and the rooting strengthens. It gives us an infrastructure to carry the authority, don't you think?
No, in fact, those two illustrations are perfect. I'm going to have to call you next time, because I love your illustrations. The lottery is a perfect illustration for that, because you got something so quickly, but you had no foundation to carry it. So God doesn't just want to release something to you. He wants to make sure that you have the foundation to sustain it. And that's what the process is about. The fight and the learning about God and the struggle and the trusting him, everything you go through in the process is the very foundation and strength needed to sustain what he wants to give you. So God's not interested in just dropping a bunch of money on you that you can't handle. He wants you to actually be able to handle it. And so that's why I think the lottery example is a phenomenal example for that.
Wow. Okay, soil of serving. You said, in serving, David chose to trust God to promote him rather than to take matters into his own hands. And I'm sure he had plenty of opportunities to take matters into his own hands, but he had an honor and a fear of God. I mean, I feel like he had physical capacity to take matters into his own hands, but he wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I think that serving is an interesting thing because obviously it's the example of Jesus. He was this incredible. He married together a leader, king, and servant in a really amazing way. But we live in a society that's very much trying to convince us it's about us.
Mm-hmm.
Very much trying to convince it's about you. When in reality, it's not about you. And quite frankly, it's not about others. It's about Jesus. But when I get near Jesus, he looks at me and says, I want you to go love people the same way I love them. And so we don't even realize it, but if we haven't really embraced the call to serve, then we're not leading as Jesus led. And it's dangerous because if I'm not leading as Jesus led, if I'm not walking next to Jesus, then I'm in danger. And so he calls us to walk with him in serving. And even right now he's serving us. He's at the right hand of the Father in intercession for us. He's still laying his life down for us in prayer. And so I think that if you can stay in a place of serving and you get out of that mode of it's about me, this is why people get so frustrated with vision stuff, because their vision, their destiny, you know, their desires, their dreams isn't happening. And we've got to get out of that mode and say, I just want to lay my life down for people. That's what love looks like. And whenever you're in a place of serving, then the Lord can trust you with more. This is my pastor Bill Johnson says this, that all increase in our life is so that we can better serve others.
That's great.
So I want more anointing. I want more favor. I want more finances. I want more whatever. If it's not to better serve others, then it hurts us. And I've seen it. I've seen people increase in their finances, but because they were not positioned to serve others, including their family, with those finances hurt them, didn't help them. And God's too gracious to do that to us.
Boy, it's so good. Now, you touched on this one, but unless you want to say more about it, but you talk about the soil of community. And in David's case, you said when 400 men joined David in the cave of Adullam, he learned what it meant to be a leader of men. Do you want to add to that whole idea of community and how necessary it is?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, the Bible, there's a great book. Scott McKnight writes a book called The Blue Parakeet, and he talks about how to reread the Bible, things like that. But he talks about that the Bible is a story that has stories interacting with it. And in our Western mindset, we believe it's creation, fall, individual redemption to God. But that's not the story of Scripture. The story of Scripture is creation, fall, finding redemption in community, finding redemption in God. And John 17 is a prayer that we would become one with one another as we become one in him. And so we really do have this mindset that it's like it's just me and Jesus. It's just me and Jesus. But it's not just you and Jesus. It's you and a big old family and Jesus.
Hmm.
And I don't want to downplay this phrase because I like the phrase, but it's like that phrase that we have, you plus Jesus equals a majority. It's true, but it's very Western mindset. It's because it's not just you plus Jesus. Jesus never looks at you and says, hey, it's just me and you. You don't need anybody else. Like nobody else matters. He doesn't say that. He said, listen, your relationship with your brother matters a lot. In fact, you can't say you love me and hate your brother. And if you have a problem with a brother, stop this communion and go fix that problem. And then come back here and finish up communion. So there's this constant call to submit our lives to community and family. And I can just speak for myself and then seeing it scripturally. It is one of the most shaping, forming, knocking the rough edges off of you kind of times where the Lord develops us in community. But it is a countercultural choice. Hmm. It is countercultural in our society to really allow people in our lives and stick in covenantal community even when it gets messy.
Why, so good. And we talked about earlier, it's just so like us in our society to be independent in a scenario where Jesus calls us to interdependence, to depend on him, to be to be vulnerable with each other. And I love this. You said it's we have this mindset, it's just me and Jesus, but you said it's not just you and Jesus, it's you, Jesus, and a big old family. That is so powerful. So let's talk about this time in between, because the time in between the vision and the fulfillment of that vision, and I always say there's a next place of promise after that. I think we're always in process, but that time in between, we can get impatient, we can get offended with God, we can get jealous of others. And you say the thing to do is build the wall in front of you. And I think that takes grit. Talk about that.
And the reason why we can't see it is because it's directly in front of us. So that's out of a Nehemiah passage where to rebuild the walls, he just told the priests, walk out your front door, look at the wall in front of you and rebuild that. Hmm. God's called you to put your hands to what's in front of you and to trust him with the timing. And it's a humbling thing to do. But the Bible says if you'll humble yourself, he'll exalt you in due time. So our job is to say, God, what's in front of me? I'm going to go do that really well. And I may be delivering pizzas right now, and I feel called to fill stadiums. But I'm going to be the best pizza delivery guy on the planet because this is what you've called me to. And it's when we can embrace what God has put in front of us that he develops us there. And whenever I'm looking at other parts of the wall and wanting things to go faster or wanting to be somewhere else or wanting to be in a different season, that's another thing that I realize. God's trying to teach you something in the season you're in. And we don't want to be in certain seasons. I just remember for a while that I just learned that God is the teacher, I'm the student. He is the one that picks the subject he wants to teach me and how long he wants to teach it to me. Mm-hmm. And so I remember for a while as a young preacher, I wanted God just to speak to me, give me some incredible revelation that would wow people when I spoke. And I remember for this season, I remember him waking me up in the middle of the night. It'd be 3 a.m, and I would just wake up, and I could really sense God's presence in the room, and I just turned my heart to him, and I say, God, what is it? And I just, you know, in my heart, I just hear him say, I just want to tell you I love you. And I'm like, okay, that's great. You know, anything else? He goes, no, that's it. And the next night, I'd wake up again, and I just turn my heart, Lord, what do you want to tell me? And he said, I just want to tell you I love you. Yeah, you told me that last night. Anything else? And he's like, no, that's it. I just wanted you to know I love you. And I just realized, like, I'm in a season where the Lord is trying to get to – I may want other revelation. I may want to be in a different season. But the Lord's like, you're not in that season. You're in this season. Let me teach you in this season. And a lot of people go around the same mountain many times because they won't just stop, recognize what's in front of them, embrace it, and allow God to grow them in the season they're in.
Talking to Banning Leibscher, founder and pastor of Jesus Culture. Book is titled Rooted, The Hidden Places Where God Develops You. We're going to talk about how do you do this? How do you stay serving when you've lost your passion? And how important it is not to leave before God calls you to leave. We'll talk about those times of transition when God's getting you ready for a next place, but he still has you in this place. What do you do? We'll talk about that in a moment. I just have to brag on our own Mark Allen Schoolmeister. He comes in with his guitar once in a while. My worship pastor at Emmanuel Christian Center was one of the co-writers on that song. And that song's on the Jesus Culture album. We've got one copy of Let It Echo, fantastic album. Three copies of Banning Leibscher's book, Rooted, The Hidden Places Where God Develops You. Love to get your name in the drawing. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address. Let me know if you're interested in the CD, the book, or both, and your name will go in a drawing. So, Banning, this has been such a fantastic conversation, and you're so great about digging into your story and giving some examples. And you talked about a time when you were serving in a way. There was fruit, but your passion wasn't there. It was exhausting you. And you talked about the power of being obedient to an assignment when your passion isn't strong. And that, I just feel like, is such a big deal. I don't want to rush past that because we do hear a lot of talk about paying attention to our passions, and we need to. But sometimes we translate that into a license to quit when we no longer feel a passion. And yet something gets developed in us when we hang in there when it doesn't suit us before God has released us. So I'd love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, I think that we have to, I mentioned this at the beginning, we have to redefine success. I think we've defined success as, you know, my dreams all happening or this desire, that. But, and I'm for all that. I think the Lord cares about that stuff. But I think we have to be more passionate about doing what God's asked us to do, about just being faithful to our assignment. I mentioned this in the book that I think a lot of people are following a dream, not Jesus. So when the dream doesn't happen quick enough, when the dream hasn't been fulfilled, I'm frustrated. And I'm like, well, I don't know why you're frustrated. We're following Jesus. Wow. Like, let's follow Jesus, and let's just do what he tells us. Are you doing what Jesus has asked you to do? Yes. Great. Then that's our deepest passion. I want to see my dreams happen. I want to see the things that the Lord's put in my heart fulfilled. But the reality is when I stand before God, I just want to, I want him to look at me and say, you were faithful and obedient to the assignment I gave you. And so if you're going to get through the season where, like you said, the in-between, or what Luke talks about, the bearing long process in the book of Luke, if you're going to get to the bearing long process, then it means that you have to make sure you are just as passionate or more passionate about being faithful and obedient to the assignment God has given you, even more than just a dream that you have, because that's what gets us hung up. So at the end of the day, this was David. This is the example, and this is actually Mike Bickles shares about this. But he talked about that David, success for him was, I am loved, therefore I'm a lover. So I just want to be loved by God. I want to love God. Therefore, it didn't matter where he was. So when he was in the castle, he was like, I just want to love God. And then when his son Absalom chased him and he's in the wilderness, he kind of paraphrasing is talking about like, hey, listen, that's fine. It doesn't matter if I'm in the castle. It doesn't matter if I'm in the wilderness. I just want to love you, and I want to be loved. And I can do that anywhere. And I remember for me, I had this moment where Jesus culture started growing and things were happening. And I was on a tour bus in England, and there was some kind of internal things happening, and I wasn't sure if Jesus culture was going to make it. And I remember sitting on a bus wrestling with this. Am I going to be okay if Jesus culture goes away? If the Lord asks me to be a youth pastor of 20 kids in some unknown city somewhere, am I going to be okay? And I had to get to the place where I said, I am going to be okay, because all I want to do is love you well and be loved by you. And I just want to do what you ask me to do. And if that – and I realize this, God doesn't owe me my destiny. I didn't die on a cross for him. He died on a cross for me. So if he asked me to go pastor some kids – of 20 kids in the middle of nowhere, completely unknown, no longer on stages, then that's what I'll go do, because what I want more than anything else is to be obedient and faithful to what he's asking of me. We have to get that passion in our heart beyond anything else.
Banning, that is a countercultural, it's counter even to American Christianity. I mean, it just really is. Now, we don't follow a dream, we follow Jesus. And he does have dreams for us, but he's so much more important than our dreams. And you sure can see when we go the way of Babel, got to make a name for myself, got to protect my interests, then other people are a threat to us. And what Jesus said is, you know, the harvest exceeds the worker. So he's saying we don't actually have enough workers, so pray for more. Don't be threatened by the few. But that territorialism happens when it's all about us. So you've just laid it out so clearly. How about this idea of when it is time to leave? You know, I've just researched that, interviewed lots of different people. I'm interested in the whole idea of when the winds of change start to blow. There's times where self-preservation kick in, you know, and we are maybe sometimes slow to obey, and the grace lifts. And I've just learned that if you stay too long, you really, there's sometimes damage that's done to relationships. The grace lifts from your tasks. But I even think the burnout is so much greater when you don't leave when God says to leave. So maybe speak to just how a person would know that that season has come upon them.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right about that stuff. I think that, you know, obviously your life is to be rooted deeply in the Word of God. So we're in Scripture. But having said that, as I hear the voice of God in my life and about seasons and shifts, it comes in through community for me. Mm-hmm. So is it time? It comes through community. And so I surround myself with community, and I surround myself with covering. And when I'm in covering, when I'm in community, then I am sent into the new seasons in the proper timing. And so I'm not hanging out too long, or I'm not going too early because of community. There's a really interesting – when Paul and Barnabas were sent out by James and the council in Acts, It says that they laid hands on them. They set them apart. They laid hands on them and prayed and sent them away. Then the next phrase is, and having been sent out by the Holy Spirit. So there's this connection where the Lord sends us into new seasons through community, through people speaking into our life. So I try to surround myself with community that speak into my life and say, hey, dude, you're scared. Like, you're not supposed to be where you are. It's time to move on geographically, seasonally, whatever it is. And there's some things holding you back. You've gotten comfortable. You're scared. You're not – whatever it is, it's time to move. Or, hey, dude, you're a little bit too early. This is too soon. So I absolutely can hear from the Lord, but I definitely want to hear from the Lord in the context of community.
That's great.
And for me, any season I've been sent into, and I think biblically, but any season I've been sent into has happened through community in my life.
So interesting. So for you, when you were leaving Bethel, and I mean, what an audacious move, but I love God asks us to do audacious things. Did you have a sense, a vision for where, what you were hoping would happen when you moved to California? I mean, Sacramento, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm with you. Here's the crazy thing for me. We're honestly just trying to obey what the Lord asked us. So there was a real risk in it because Jesus culture had, I'm putting air quotes up right now, success attached to it. You know, success was attached to it. And so going to do a church, I didn't know if it was going to go well or not. It could maybe not go as well. It could be hard, whatever. But I knew the Lord had called us to do it. And we were sent by our church. You know, it's interesting, we're talking about community. I really felt the Lord talking to me about this and things that just stirred my heart about it. It's time. And so I went to my leaders. I said, this is what I feel like the Lord's saying. And they all unanimously said, we feel the Lord in this. And if they wouldn't have, I would have waited.
Wow.
And they said, we feel the Lord in this. We feel that God is on this. The timing is right. And they sent us out. And so we definitely came with a soberness of like, all right, Lord. But, man, what a journey it's been. Man, the best. It's been an incredible, incredible few years just doing this thing. But I was convinced the timing was right, and I was convinced the Lord was on it because my community had affirmed that and sent me out, and we weren't just doing it on our own. Mm. And, yeah, so – but it's definitely – it is definitely – people ask me, they're like, dude, that's such a huge move to leave. And I'm like, you know what? The thought of just living safe the rest of my life and not following Jesus, I don't want to be 85 years old and look back over my life and think I never did anything that really required faith. I only did things that were guaranteed. I only did it when money was there. I would only do it if people were going to be there. It was just safe. I kind of want to live like that. But the issue is we all love the concept of faith. We all love the sermons about trust and faith. We just don't like being put in positions where it's required of us.
It's true. It sings well in a song, but...
No, totally. Because all of a sudden, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and if God doesn't show up, this doesn't work out. I have to trust him. Mm. And if trust is required or if faith is required, there's a reason why trust is required.
Yeah.
And so we just knew, like, this is a big step, but I just don't want to live that safe life that never requires faith out of me.
And the thing is, I feel like that's the only place where we're going to bear fruit that remains, when there's risk, yeah, when there's abiding, when there's faith, because you're laying it on the line and then you're going to see what Jesus will do. And Banning, I just know when Jesus sees you, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Would you pray for that person listening today who's been living safe up till now but is very stirred up listening to you? Would you pray for that person?
Yeah, so I just want to say this over everybody listening. Be encouraged. God has you right where you're supposed to be, and he's developing your life. Father, I pray grace on everybody that's listening that's right in the middle of process. They might be confused. They might not fully understand, but I pray that you would give them clarity, that you would speak to them, that you're developing trust, that you're showing, you're revealing yourself to them, and you're developing an internal root system so that they can bear the fruit that you've called them to bear. And Lord, I just bless them in this process in Jesus' name.
Amen. Banning, thank you for all that you're doing and doing for the kingdom and for giving us your time today.
Absolutely, man. What a joy to be here.
Great conversation. Title of his book, again, is Rooted, The Hidden Places Where God Develops You. This is a manual getting you ready for your next place of promise. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address. Let me know if it's the book or the CD that you're interested in. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. Be much with Him. Walk with God and do the next thing He tells you to. He'll get you where you need to go. Meet you back here next time.